So, welcome back to Entirely Media. This is Entirely NBA, and we're here with one of our favorite people. Before we get started, let's just list off some accolades of my guy here. High school state champion, ACC player of the year, leading scorer that last year, drafted in 2013, and then went overseas to become an overseas phenom. I want to welcome Eric Green. How you doing, man?
Thank you. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me, man.
Start off easy. We just want to like talk about what's your favorite childhood memory?
Probably when my father got the team, the Rising Stars, together. Just for the fact that we grew up together since we were like 7-8 years old. Yeah. And accomplished so much, from winning a national championship to a high school state championship. So, you know, doing that from 8 to like 16, 17 years old, man, that was probably like my favorite childhood memory, because we started so young together.
I want to talk about that. So we like to start early on. What was it actually like winning that first state championship?
Oh, man, it was crazy because, you know, like from our city, man, no one's ever done it. So, you know, being able to, you know, be the first ones to do it, man, it was a heck of an accomplishment. And then you get to do it with your brothers. Like I said, those guys I've been playing with since I was like 8 years old. So that was even made it better.
Right. So that's a hell of a feeling. And then if I remember correctly, you went from obviously winning that state championship to heading over to Paul to Six. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
They ended up retiring your jersey. If I'm not mistaken, you won another state championship over there too.
Yep.
So you just been winning. Just been winning the whole time. So like, what is that feeling like after Paul to Six? Did you see like NBA dreams? Did you see like going from there? Or was that just something that you just like, I'm just going to keep playing, keep winning?
Man, honestly, I didn't even think NBA. I mean, of course, you know, all of our dreams as kids is like NBA. You know, so you work hard towards it. But, I mean, it's just like a goal I had. I didn't really see it coming until probably like my senior year of college, when I was like, oh, I got a chance. But from the most part, man, it was just honestly just working hard. Like, I was like, man, my mom and my dad, like, you know, growing up, it was very competitive. Like, we were always taught, if you're going to do something, do it at your best and always try to be, you know, win. So, you know, that was installed in us really early.
So not only was dad big on that, but mom was too?
Yeah, mom was huge. Mom played college basketball. Mom was a shooter. Mom was really good as well. So, she was hard on us a lot, man.
Okay, so high school championship, Paul the Sixth. What went into that process of actually joining Virginia Tech?
Man, my dream was to play in the ACC. My first offer, honestly, I was going to go to either George Mason with Coach Larry Nega, who is at Miami now. But, you know, Virginia Tech came, and I was like, man, I get to play. You know, my favorite team growing up was Duke, so I was like, I'm not getting looked at by Duke, so the closest I'll probably get is Virginia Tech. So, you know, playing in the ACC, yeah. Duke, Carolina, they say it's the best basketball in the country. So I was like, man, I want the challenge, and you know, I took it on.
Gotcha. Okay. Not only did you take it on, I know the first. So what I want to talk about is the emotional aspect of that first year, because I read, I know it was a little rough. It was 2.6 points, yeah, lower shooting percentages. I know what that feels like, right? To not perform the way you want to perform. You were quoted, though, saying that first year turned you into a gym rat. So what was the emotional feeling like? Experiencing the lower percentages and the lesser performance, and then diving deep into that hard work to obviously get to that fourth year where, goddamn, you were doing everything you could. What was that like?
Man, I mean, it was, you know, when you come in from high school, you know, from my city, like, you're the man. Everybody, you know, praises you. Everybody's saying how good you are. And then you get a really nice, humble experience, you know, when you go to college and you realize, like, yo, you at the best of the best. Those guys, there's guys here that are like the best where they are at too. And they're older, they're more, you know, physically ready. You know, I came into college at like 155. So I was like a skinny mini, man. I was always talented. Like, I worked hard, but I didn't really know what hard work was. And I tell kids that all the time. Like, you think you're working hard, but you have no idea what like working hard really is to make it to that next level. And, you know, my first year, man, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't work hard. Like, I was going through the motions. I was happy to be there. You know, I really wasn't playing a lot. So I was like, kind of felt like I was, you know, once you're in the middle of the season, you're kind of like stuck. Like, either I can continue to work hard, or I'm just going to stay stuck where I'm at and just get through this season. And I stayed stuck where I was at and just got through the season. And, you know, when you had guys like Malcolm Delaney, Dorenzo Hudson, Jeff Allen, guys who are vets and that were in the gym all the time and watching them, I'm like, man, like, Malcolm's an All-American. I want to be like him one day. So getting to experience that was, you know, that motivated me. And I wanted to be the best of the best. And I got complacent my freshman year. I remember getting like fan mail and stuff. People were like, we wasted a scholarship on this kid. You know, you read these little things people sent to you and stuff. Yeah, so it kind of like, it hurt me, man. Like, you know, we had feelings too. As Hooper, as a young kid, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be good enough for this. But, you know, I come from a family where we don't run. You know, you buckle down and you work harder and you grind and, you know, and you make the most out of what, you know, what you do, where you're at. And that's what I did, man.
Like, just saying, like, that was your first time running into adversity when it came to, like, your basketball career. Like, was that something that, was that a self-motivating thing? Like, when you said, just watching other people, like, grind, getting what they get, like, getting the accolades they had. And then you was just like, look, I got to get in the gym. Like, I can't be just a regular dude.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know what really motivated me is when you hear another point guard's coming in the following year. So we had another guy coming in.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, they signed another point guard. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, either they don't like me or I got to, you know, pick this shit up. And, you know, it was a choice. Or you can run, you know what I mean? Like, you can transfer and not have to compete and work harder. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I took the challenge on, man. Like, I honestly got my butt in the gym. I put on weight, locked in, and, man, it all worked out. It definitely did.
Shit, I'd say. So for people that don't know, as we talked about that freshman year, it was what it was. But when we say this man really got in the gym and did work, he did that. By his senior year, dude not only won ACC Player of the Year, but was a leading scorer in the whole national elite level at 25 points. And so when we start looking at some of those names that are also on that list, Eric Green's number one. Passing guys that we are well known, such as CJ McCollum, Doug McDermott, Caldwell Pope was even in that class that year. So it's insane to say. It's just fucking insane.
Yeah.
So what I want to know then, obviously coming off of that, what was that feeling like knowing, or maybe not even knowing, what your next steps would be after your senior year? What kind of emotions did you have there?
It was a roller coaster because, I mean, honestly, man, college is the best time of your life. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, coming to a point where, you know, back then we didn't really know too much about overseas basketball because Instagram was just starting to pop off, but it really wasn't covering it as like it is now. So, you know, in my head, I really was like, okay, I hear about overseas, but you don't really know about it. You know what I mean? Do these guys even make money? Like, you don't know nothing. So I was just like, oh man. So, you know, just the whole NBA, once I started my senior year, people were like, yo, man, you got a chance to get drafted. I came back from the CP3 camp they do in the summer of the top point guards, and I performed there really well. I come back on campus, and I'll never forget, like, someone sent me something on Facebook. It was like a draft board, and I was like 50-something, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, like, damn, I'm on a draft board. So that just added to my confidence even more, and I just took off from there.
So a lot of people would get complacent with that. So that was something that just kept on, made you push further to try to get higher up in the draft class? Or were you just kind of just like, hey, I'm on the board. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not many people can even make it to the board. So you were on the board to get to the NBA. Or was that something that it gave you more motivation?
Yeah, it gave me more motivation. I wanted to be a first round pick. That was my whole intent. Like, you know, I had in my locker, I had a list of all the top point guards that came out with, like, the top 25 point guards. And, you know, I used to put taped it to my locker, and I got a chance to go up against, you know, playing in the ACC, you know, guys at Carolina, Duke, that names were on the list. I went up against Marcus Smart. So I got all these names. I'm like, all right, these guys are ahead of me. Like, I'm going to take it on as a challenge. Like, I want to show everybody I'm better, you know. And, you know, that's what I did. I really took it. Every night I went out there, I wanted to destroy whoever was in front of me. And I wanted to show everybody I was a first round pick.
I love it. So what was that draft process like for you?
Man, it was a dream, man. Just being able to go through, like, go to city to city, travel, get to work out for these teams, meet all these different people, play against the workout against the best of the best. Like, it was crazy. It was unreal for me. I never thought a kid from Winchester would experience something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and then the cool thing was, you know, my whole life I've been chasing people. Like, you know, I wanted to, you know, I'm chasing, but now I'm being chased. People want to be where I'm at. People are trying to come for me. And, you know, you hear your name now, and it's like, wow, like, I've come a long, long way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very true. I want to know, so obviously you said you were working out, just like most people do, for various teams before the draft. Was there one particular workout that stands out in your mind, like, damn, I think I killed that. I may be able to go here.
Yeah, I thought Milwaukee. Milwaukee was, I forgot what picked ahead in, like, the 20s. And I killed that workout. You know, the coaches were talking to me like, man, if you're available late 20s, we're going to take you. I'm like, yeah, you know. And that was one where I thought it was a guarantee I was locked in for them. Because, and I got called back twice. So, you know, they brought me the first time and I did well. Then the second time they wanted to see me up against somebody else. I forgot who it was. And I played really well. And, you know, they went with somebody else. That's just part of the business.
So by the time you ended up getting to the league, it was second round, 46th pick, to Denver. Like, how was that? Like, what was your first year like when you went there? Like, going, like playing with Ty Lawson and all them.
It was crazy. I mean, I remember my first day of training camp and practice. I'll never forget, like, we're doing, like, two-on-two drills, and JaVale McGee and J.J. Hickson are guarding each other. And JaVale McGee's, like, 7 foot, 7'1", whatever. His arms just long, crazy long. J.J. Hickson took one dribble and just dunked right over top of him. And I'm just looking like, wow, I'm in a whole, like, I'm in a whole new ball game. Like, your bigs is just as fast as your guards. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the NBA is just a whole different animal. You're like, you better really come to play every day. So that was really like my first eye-opening moment was like, wow, I'm here. Like, I'm really here. So that was cool. But it was an awesome experience, man.
I'm glad you said that, because that's actually what I was going to ask too. What was kind of that welcome? A lot of people have it, whether it's on the court or in a practice or various other experiences. So I'm glad to hear that was yours. That's dope. So obviously the first year went what it went the way it went. I love to see you out there. I mean, you competed against some good guards. One picture that I saw that I really liked was you taking a beautiful mid-range jumper. Trey Burke had his hand up. I was like, damn, that's one moment you can always say, like, that's fly. What actually came down to your decision to start pursuing basketball overseas?
The second year coming in with, you know, getting released from Denver, then, you know, did the G League, got picked up by Utah, and did that whole thing. And then going into that summer, my agent was like, hey, man, you got a great opportunity overseas. It's a lot of money tax free. And it's going to, you know, playing at the highest level in Europe can get you back into the NBA. So I was like, you know, let me think about it. You know, I didn't want to keep going to the G League. And I mean, the offer was crazy. So, I mean, it was 7 figures. So I was like, man, at this age, I'm 20 something years old, about to make 7 figures tax free. Like, this is going to be crazy. So, and an opportunity to play the best of the best. And I was like, man, I can't beat it. So, you know, I took it on. And that was a whole nother challenge as well in my life.
Is the NBA and the EuroLeague, is it that much different? Like, when it comes to the talent? Because, like you said, people in the NBA, you know, your centers are just as fast as your guards. Everybody's stupid athletic, all this stuff. Like, was it still that same change going over to the EuroLeague? Like, going overseas?
Yes and no. Because there's a lot of guys over here at the EuroLeague, man, that can play in the NBA, but they get paid more here than they do there because of the tax. But, I mean, it's smarter. You got to be really smart. This is basketball over here. Like, it's not really too much athleticism. You know, you got to really know how to play basketball, shoot the three, play as a team. Like, there might be one game you play 25 minutes, one game you might play 15 minutes. So it's just like up and down. Like, you got to learn how to manage that type of stuff too. So it was definitely a challenge from the NBA to EuroLeague. It is two completely different games.
But I mean, you've had tremendous success over there. Italian Super Cup, Spanish Super Cup MVP, Spanish Super Cup winner. That was in 2017. Turkish Cup winner. Tell me how to say this, Eric. It's the Montenegrin. What the hell is that?
It's the Montenegrin League.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. But anyway, so tremendous success there. So, and you're still over there. Obviously, like you said, the money is amazing. And obviously, you still get to pursue your dreams. You're playing at a high level. And it's funny, too. Kyle brought up a good question of the talent difference, right? One of the biggest misconceptions is that it's easier over there. While it may seem easier over there in a physicality standpoint, the mental aspect and how these guys play on a strategic level is hands down one of the best. So I applaud you for being able to go over there and dominate. That's such a hell of a thing to do, Eric.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you, man.
This has got more personal for me, but I don't know if you remember a while ago when you were still in tech, I went out there and I was chilling with you there and I was asking you some of these same questions. It's kind of weird how in the future now we actually doing it as an interview, but the biggest thing that kind of stuck with me, because like I was still hooping, chasing my hoop dreams, all that good stuff. The biggest thing you stuck with me is the fact that you were like, I'm not the most athletic, I'm not the strongest, I'm not the biggest, but I'm smarter than everybody on the court. So everybody I play against, I'm smarter than them. So, like, I can just beat them because my IQ when it comes to the court. And then so now that you're saying it now, you're in the EuroLeague, killing it over there, it, like, kind of all ends up playing out. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? You have the talent. You've always been talented. And you said that you don't have, like, we were talking about it earlier, like, what, 6'4", Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not like in the NBA or in the NBA, that's like short.
Right, yeah.
You're short to everybody else. But you're still performing at a high level. So, like, I really respect that. And it's just stuck with me ever since. So, I was tough.
I appreciate that, bro. Thanks, man.
What's a typical workout schedule look like for you?
Oh, man. Off season or during the season?
Well, give me both. Give me off season first.
Off season, man, I get up around like 7:15. I got to be at the gym at 8 for my strength and conditioning, footwork, stuff like that. Then after that, I grab some breakfast, you know, something to eat, and then I go work out my shooting coach skills work. We do skills. We do that for about an hour, and then sometimes, you know, maybe twice a week we play pickup right after we get done with that. And then at nighttime, man, you come and get some shots up. That's when I really feel like your body's tired. You're really tired. You don't want to do it. You know, let's be real. You sitting at the crib. You're like, man, I don't want to go back in the gym, man. But you got to do it, man. If you're trying to continue to be successful, play at a high level, you got to get that work in. And, you know, that's a day for me, man. Every day in the off season, that's my day.
During season is just a lot of just team practices, team bonding, get chemistry up?
Yeah, like today, man, we had weights at 11, then practice at 12, and then I stay after every day of practice 30 minutes. Like 30 minutes, man, just getting shots up, working on, not even doing too much running, nothing like that. Just doing, you know, a few steps, continue my repetitions, you know, continue to stay on my flow, man. And that's it, man. That's really it. And then just go get the treatment. I take care of my body every day. I'm learning that. Take care of your body, man. That's important.
Mm-hmm. That longevity, man, is needed.
I'm trying to play for another 5-6 years. I'm trying to, you know, I want to. It's hard to get up in the morning sometimes. It's hard.
I believe it.
Say, Brian, making it hard for everybody.
Yeah, you're right about that.
tell me, so being overseas, is there a moment that you remember of one of the toughest guards you had to go against?
Yeah, man. I remember, so I was playing against Luka, and I remember coming home, and I'm like, yo, y'all, like, there's this dude over there named Luka Doncic, yo, he is like that. And you know Americans, they kind of like, yeah, right, man, there ain't no European that's good.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, man, yo, listen, he's killing grown men at 17. Like, this kid is nice. Like, and honestly, I don't really walk away from games like, oh, yeah, like, he's really, really tough. Like, you know. But when I left that game, I was like, yo, who is this kid? You know what I mean? Like, I was like, yo, like, no just doubt. His,
yeah, yeah.
For being 17, his IQ, his physical, you know, he was strong. Like, he could shoot. He's cocky. I'm like, yo, who the hell? Like, where this kid come from? You know what I mean? So that was, I was like, yo, this dude, the real deal. And Mike James is the real deal. I like going playing against Mike. Mike is, you know, he'll bring the best out of you. He can get to it, man. He really gets to it.
I love it.
What about just in the NBA? Who was the toughest person you guarded?
Man, I mean, Kyrie, I got a chance to guard Kyrie. I got a chance to guard Steph. I mean, everybody's tough, man. But, I mean, I got to practice against Ty Lawson. At that time, Ty Lawson was one of the best guards in the league. You know? Yeah. You could not stay in front of him, man. Every day in practice, he was busting my ass. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't stay in front of the guy. Like, in all the space, you can't help in the NBA. So, it's just one-on-one.
Congratulations, got kid.
Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir. How was that like separating that with all the like off season workouts, during season workouts, and then still making good time for your family?
Oh man, it's tough. It's not really as bad because my family likes to come to the gym with me. So, you know, like they be in the gym with me all the time. So it's cool. My girl she used to play college basketball. So she loves basketball, so she always in the gym. Right. My son and my daughter, every time we together, man, we in the gym, we love to be in the gym. So, you know, it's not really too bad. It's just, sometimes, you know, the hardest part is being away from your family. You know what I mean? When you're trying to work and you got to get ready and they're far away and stuff, that's probably the hardest part. Just missing them and wishing they could be there with you.
So off the subject of just sports in general, when it comes to being a father, what is one lesson that you want to try to instill into your child?
Man, that's a great question. I'll tell you what kids do make you work on. It was your patience.
Patience. It's always number one.
You know, one thing I really want to install in them is a work ethic. Not just on the court, off the court, with people too. Like, be a good person, man. And it's one thing my parents taught me. You can be a great athlete and all that, but be a great person. That's going to take you further than anything in the world. And that's what's gotten me to where I'm at, you know, and been a great dude, no problems. I still today say yes sir, no ma'am. People look at me like I'm crazy. Like, you a grown man saying it to other people? I'm just like, it's like crazy.
Nah,
you know. So
I get it every day.
But that's the one thing I want to teach him. Like, you know, hard work, man. We're going to try to be the best as we can be on the court, but be the best person we can be off the court as well. And that's something I want to install into my kids.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the court real quick, one of our best performing videos was a take on leadership. So from your standpoint, what does it mean to be a great leader on the court? And two, do you believe that it's the best player on the court that's normally the best leader? Because I don't think that's the case.
I'm with you. I don't think the best leader has to be the best player. I've played on teams all the time where, you know, the best leader, you know, he's the most vocal, the hardest worker. Every single day, man, he's in the gym. He's outworking everybody. He's, you know, he's a person that you can't say nothing back to because, like, he does everything, you know. He holds himself accountable. He holds everybody else accountable. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's something I look at when somebody's talking to me, like, bro, are you putting in the work? Are you doing it? You can't just be talking if you ain't doing it. But yeah, being a leader, man, I just think it's just, you don't always have to be the most loudest person in the room to be a leader. Just doing things the right way, working your tail off every day, being coachable, being able to talk to your teammates, that's big, without having, you know, feeling like someone's attacking you. You know, just trying to, you know, be able to give them advice and be like, hey, I need you to step up a little bit. And some guys get defensive, but I think a leader don't get defensive. He takes on that challenge. It's like, all right, I'm going to hold everybody accountable.
I love it. Now, some of these next, because I only got you for, we're making good time. What, 30 minutes in? So these next questions are going to kind of be some fire questions. Just your take and opinion on shit. So for me, and then I'll give it to Kyle real quick. If you had to pick a starting five, right? The best starting five. our audience is crazy. Like for me, man, I think there's a few in there that are solidified. Like for me, Jordan's the
for
in
sure.
there, period.
My favorite player.
Shaq is also for in there, sure. period, yeah. at number five. Thank you. So when people are saying, obviously, Shaq isn't even a top four center, he's a top five center, I'm like, come on, man, name a starting lineup that doesn't have Shaq in it at the five spot. So my question to you is, who's your starting five? You had to take five players out of any era.
Any era I want? Mike, Kobe, LeBron, four. Y'all might think I'm crazy, but I mean, I'll throw one European in there because he's my favorite European of all time. I put Dirk at the four, and I put Shaq at the five.
Dirk, I knew you were going to say Dirk.
I put Dirk at the four. He was unstoppable.
I respect that. I would go Kobe with you, but Kobe and Mike, they're one and the same, right? So I gotta go Steph, Mike, I'm going Bron, I'm going KD, and I'm going Shaq.
I like that. I mean, I like Steph too. You can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong. Right?
I like Kobe though, man. I love Kobe.
Mine's similar.
I know.
That's what I'm
know,
saying.
Know,
yeah, like so I'm a Steph, Kobe, Bron, and then I might have to throw my man Timmy at the four.
Okay.
And then Shaq.
Oh, you leaving Mike out? Okay.
The only reason why I say I'm leaving Mike out is because Kobe and Mike are the same player, so you can't get wrong either way. That's my thought process. And I just grew up watching Kobe, so that's automatically, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I can take it.
Yeah, no disrespect to Mike. I mean, obviously Mike is one of the best ever, in my opinion, the best to ever do it. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, I grew up with Kobe.
All right, I got a few more for you because I know these topics go crazy online. Eric Green, $500 million in career earnings or $50 million and five rings?
Which one would you rather?
Oh. Yeah, let me get that. Let me get the five rings, $50 million. I'll take $50 million. I can invest in that and flip it. So I can,
damn.
Really? Okay. Right. See, look.
Okay.
Do
look.
This
look.
Friend.
I get it. I get it. My argument to a lot of the people in the chat was essentially, yeah, as long as you're smart, either you can't go wrong with either one of them. Except for the legacy is obviously buried with the 50 mil. But at the same time, I'm looking at Kyle. Let's say we all played in the league, and you're the only one with five rings and 50 mil, and I got the 500 mil, and I'm like, Eric, man, let's take this quick trip over here. Just hop on a plane. You taking yours? And you're like, bro, I ain't got it. I'm like, yeah,
you're right.
That's what the fuck.
They're probably looking at me a little crazy, but I still, I mean, 50 million, a lot of money, man.
It is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money for anybody, period. And plus, I'll say this too. post-career, and I know a lot of athletes experience this, with those five rings, you have an instilled legacy that can't be changed. Fact. And the shit that I think you could reap rewards from afterwards is unmatched. So I'm with you on that, too.
Quick question. This is actually going back to the leadership real quick. As you can tell, that Darion's favorite player is KD.
Kevin Durant.
So he got him in every category. But what do you think your leadership quality is? Are you a vocal leader? Are you just like a hard work leader? Like, what is your leadership quality and with your teams?
I think just hard work. I'm always working hard. You know, I mean, I don't say too much. I've never been a guy who, like, you know, is a rah-rah type of guy. You know, I'm very coachable. Yeah. I do what you ask me to do, and I work my tail off every single day. And, you know, that's how I do it.
Are there a lot of language barriers there, or because you're playing overseas, or is it just everybody kind of speaks English, or you just got to learn whatever language that you got to, where you at?
Yeah, how the hell does that work?
Honestly, man, everybody used to speak English. I mean, when your coach gets mad, he'll speak his language. Like, my coach speaks Serbian, he'll get all mad and stuff. Yeah. He'll start speaking Serbian. You don't know what the hell he's saying, but you know what I mean? For the most part, you don't worry about it. If it's something important, they make sure it's in English and you'll understand it.
Oh, good.
Gotcha.
Are you taking it, like, the initiative to try to learn any Serbian, or you just...
Not really. Spanish. I picked up some Spanish. So I know a little bit of that, but I'm not fluent or nothing like that. No.
You say you know a little Spanish. What you know? Pass me the ball.
Yeah, I know. Pass me the ball. I know to shoot. Hola. You know, the simple basic stuff to get you by.
Right. good. And so obviously we will have people around here that are going to be watching this and know you, and some idolize you, of course. So when you start looking at people in a youthful age, and I know you probably get this question or have got this question a lot, but what advice would you give those young kids that are starting out trying to build something, love basketball, have the dreams of being a basketball player, and love what you've done with your life and your career?
Man, I used to tell all the kids, man, really work hard, because you're not competing. People fail to realize you're not just competing against, like, the guys in America. Basketball has expanded so much. You're competing against guys in other countries, you know, Greece, Spain, Turkey, China, NBA Africa now. Like, it's coming from every angle, and Europeans are starting to make a, you know, force in the league. So it's like you really, really got to work extra hard to be able to into that, make that goal come true. And even if you don't make the NBA, man, I tell people all the time, there's another way of making a living, going across that water, being able to still do what you love, make good money, meet amazing people, get to see the world, like, you know, and it opens up your eyes to so much that you probably have never, you know, Kyle, you know, we come from Winchester, man. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, coming to be able to see Greece and Spain and places like that, it was like, wow, bro, like, I get to see something crazy. So just, like, you know, just to work hard, and, you know, like I said, there's different avenues. Don't just think it's the NBA or nothing. Of course, you know, try to get to the best of the best, but if not, you can still make a living and enjoy life overseas.
I mean, you got the best of both worlds. I mean, you got to see both.
Yeah, I did. You're right.
Like, with that being said, like, you know what I'm saying? You're chilling. And because I think a lot of people, like when you went there, the credibility when it came to overseas, wherever that may be, I don't think it had that, like, that credibility there yet. So I think everybody now has that respect for it.
Right.
I think a lot of people looked at overseas as if, like, you're not good enough to play in the NBA. It's like, that's
exactly right.
Far from true. like it's just that was just the opportunity for you there. But with that being said, do you think, you know, if you had the opportunity, would you come back to the NBA?
I think the NBA is going in the direction of the youth, like the young guys. They want the young guys and stuff like that. I would love to come back playing for my friends and family and be at home. But I mean, I got, you know, I'm respected, really well respected out here. I got a great name. You know, they treat me really well. I enjoy living overseas. It's, you know, I've gotten so used to it. I enjoy it. You know, I'm happy where I'm at. You know, I would love to go back, but, you know, I can't complain. I'm blessed to be able to do what I love and continue to still play at a high level over here.
Exactly.
All right, man. So we're about 45 minutes in. I've enjoyed this probably more than you can even know, Eric. And so part of the reason that Kyle and I had even talked about bringing you on here is because we've established a really good platform. And I think that stories like yours, especially yours, where, like Kyle said earlier on, undersized but won, continued to compete and work hard, adversity in that first year at VT, overcame that ACC scoring chance. That, like, the shit is crazy. And then to be able to come from a town as small, I mean, it's bigger now, small as ours is, and see your name on an NBA draft board, go through that first year, see what that's like, make a name for yourself on the overseas platform. Like you said, you're well-respected. That we know and that we can see. And still carry on a legacy that's bigger than the green name. I love it, and I think that's a story that needs to be shared. So, man, I know, I don't know how much it means, but when we talked about this, one of the things we kept saying was how proud we were. At the end of the day, I want to wrap this up and say thank you, but do you have any last words that you would like to say to our audience?
All right, man, thank y'all for having me, man. I loved it. I actually brought back a lot of memories, and, you know, I'm glad I got a chance to share my experience, you know, with everybody who gets to see this and watch this and listen to it. You know, I just, for the young kids, man, I will hope all your dreams can come true, man. If you work hard, you know what I mean? You stay in the gym, focus, you know, lock in, man, anything is possible. And, you know, if you really want something, man, you can go get it. It's definitely reachable from small towns to big towns. It don't matter where you're from, man. It's, anything can happen.
To me, you know, he's my brother. He's my friend. No, he's my teammate. He had been through the constant grind just like me. You know, he was underrated just like me.
Shout out to
my family, my friends.